came in this morning and you received one of our bulletins, you would also notice that there were some 3x5 cards that had a green elephant on them. The green elephant represents money. Yeah, money. And so for the next 4 weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about, money. And before you get kind of bent out of shape, I know churches and money always doesn't have a positive connotation. I want you to know that this is not a fundraising campaign, that we have not established a building fund or anything like that. As Tom mentioned last week, as he kind of introduced and segued into this, we don't want anything from you, but we want something for you. We want something for you. God wants something for you. And so we're going to learn these next 4 weeks, and God's going to speak to us concerning money, how we view it, how we use it, what should we do with it, and how should we use it. And so it's going to be an exciting 4 weeks. It's going to be challenging, but I guarantee you that you will be blessed by it. And the reason why we decided to do this is because money is a big deal. It's a big deal for most of us. And I would venture to say that money is a struggle for most of us. And I know a lot of you guys are looking at me like, Pastor Terry, well, I don't have any, so I can't struggle with something I don't have. So this series doesn't really apply to me, so I'll just show up, but I'll get tapes and, you know, I make sure I take notes for other people who have money that struggle with it. Well, the struggle with money doesn't just apply to people who have it, but it's a struggle for those who don't have it. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever in your life at some point or another said, God, my life would be better if I had more money? Things in my life would look a lot different. I'd be a lot happier. Things would go a lot smoother if you just increased my salary. If I just hit the number, God, everything would be taken care of. I wouldn't have to bug you so much, God, with these prayers. I wouldn't have to constantly be taking my car to the mechanic. I wouldn't constantly having to depend on other people. I wouldn't have to constantly be doing all these things. God, if I just had more money. If you've ever prayed that prayer at some point in your life, then money is a struggle. Let me ask you another question. If you were to be given one wish and God says, I will make all of your dreams come, what is the best thing that could possibly happen to you if money is involved anywhere in that equation? Money is an issue for you. And if money is an issue for you, and you, to be honest, for you're in the right place. Because God wants to help us. God wants to teach us. God wants to do a work in our hearts so that we could live the life that he's offering to us, that he's extending to us. And so if you have the green bulletins, normally we'd like to do goldenrod, but I thought it'd be fitting to do green for the money series. I'm going to go out of order. So three things I want you to remember as we go through this series. Three things to remember about money. Number one, money is not evil. Let's just get that off the bat. This is not to demonize money. It's not to make money bad and for you to run from money. But money is still an issue. Money is not evil. Money is something that God has created, that God has allowed to come to existence. But just like everything else good that God gives to us, we in our human, fragile brokenness, we take it, twist it, mangle it, distort it, and put more into it than we should. But money in and of itself is not evil. Keep that in mind. We are not saying money is bad. Number two, money is useful. Money is a good thing to have because it is useful. And number three, most importantly, money is not God. This is the big takeaway. This is what we really want to drive home in this series, that at the end of this, we come out recognizing and embracing and accepting, as hard as it is, that money is not God. And it's easy to make money God, because money is something that we can see. I can go in my wallet and I can pull it out and say, here it is. I can use this. This is good. This does good things for me. But I can't pull God out of my pocket and say, here's God and he's good and he blesses me. And so it's easier to put my trust in something that I can hold, something that I can see, something that is accessible. I can go, if I don't have any money in my wallet, which is most often the case, I can go to the ATM machine and pull money out. It's easily available. It's readily available. It's accessible. And so it's easy to get it confused, and it's easy to now make money or put money in the God position. And if money is in the God position of your life, you're in a dangerous place. And we don't want you to be in a dangerous place. We want you to be in a good place. Jesus says that I've come that you have, that you might have life and have life to the fullest. And if money is your God, if money is the thing that you're placing your ultimate trust in, then you are not living the abundant life that Jesus promised. And my prayer as your pastor, and as Tom's prayer as your pastor, and Theon's prayer as your pastor, is that you would live the life that Christ has meant for you. That everything that we celebrated last week on Easter, that would play out in every area of your life. That we would not look at Easter as just, whoa, not going to hell because Jesus got up. We don't want to just leave Easter and relegate it to just this Sunday experience that we can come and celebrate. But we want Easter to play out in Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. You say, what does Easter have to do with money? It has everything to do with money, because Easter is the time where we recognize that, listen, God took care of our greatest need. And our greatest need is not the issues that we're struggling with. It's not the debt that we have. It's not the medical bills that we have. It's not all of these things. Our greatest need is that we were sinners and God took care of that on the cross. And because of that, we can live life with peace. We can live life in hope, even though we struggle with those things, even though bills are real, and even though the need for money is real, we know that if God can take care of the best, he can take care of the rest. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 19 through 21, and we're going to skip down to 24, so be prepared for that. Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be some paperback Bibles in the back of the pew. And if you don't have one at all, that one is yours. Take it, put your name on it, read it, bring it back, cherish it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19. I don't hear too many more pages turning, so I'll go ahead and read. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or you cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and, as the King James Version puts it, mammon. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. That not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, the world eagerly seeks all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. And besides, each day has enough trouble of its own. This is a continuing conversation of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus introducing his kingdom and what his kingdom looks like and what it means to live in the kingdom. This is Jesus sitting down with his disciples in the crowd, and he's opening up their brains and opening up their heart and rewiring and retinkering and redirecting and reshaping and reforming, because he says, in my kingdom, things are a lot different than they are right now on earth. He's opening their hearts, and he's performing our open heart surgery on them, and he's taking out those things that should not be so that they could live in the kingdom. I want you to understand that it's not just an arbitrary thing that Jesus is talking about money, but he's saying this is what life in the kingdom looks like. This is what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom. It's not about so much how you, because everyone can claim to be a citizen, but we'll know if you're a citizen tonight by how you act, by the choices you make. And so Jesus includes in that money. He knows money is an issue. He knows money is something that is always vying for first place position in our hearts. Some would say that Satan is not God's biggest rival. It's money. That money even beats the devil. So money is a big deal. Jesus makes it clear in this statement, and this is our foundational truth today. And this is what we want you to get to understand. Jesus makes it clear in this passage. Our foundational truth in your fill in the blanks is, listen, there is only room for one throne in our hearts. In this kingdom, in the kingdom of God,
As
kingdom citizens, there is only room for one throne in our hearts. The question is, today, City Lights, who's on that throne? We know the answer, and, you know, for to not be embarrassed, we'd all say, God is on the throne. But is it really? If we were to put a projector and shoot it out of your heart and put it on the screen, would God be on the throne? Or would it be something else? Would it be money? Jesus makes it very clear that as a kingdom citizen, as a child of God, living the life that he's offering to us, that he's invited us into, there's only room for one throne in our hearts. And he gives us the choice that we should make. He said, listen, you should serve God. That's the answer. If there's only room for one, that one should be God and not money. So he goes on, he says, so in light of this, he says, do not store treasures here on earth. Don't be consumed about accumulating so much wealth. Don't have your attention so focused on getting money, getting paid. He says, I'm not just telling you that because I don't want you to have it. He says, I know that having it does damage to your life. That consuming yourself with it, consuming yourself with the accumulation of it, does damage to your life. It takes and it knocks God, it removes God off the throne of your heart, and that's not a good thing. He says, listen, where your treasure is, where you place your value, where you place your security, where you place everything, there is your heart. And wherever your heart is, that is where you're going to follow. My heart is with the Lakers. So win or lose, I'm following them. My heart is with Long Beach. So I'm trying to get here so I can live here and be here. My heart is with this church, and so I follow this church. Jesus is saying, if money is what you value most, if that is what you consider your treasure, your heart is going to do everything it can to get to it. Even at the risk of replacing God as king on the throne. And let me kind of debunk some myths about money. Having money doesn't mean God is blessing you. Not having money doesn't mean God is not blessing you. There's a myth in this modern Christian world that a sign that God is blessing you or a sign that God is moving or active in your life is if you got money. That's false. The Bible is very clear read the Psalms and read the Proverbs. There are people who lament over the fact that the wicked prosper. They're always looking and say, God, I'm doing what's righteous, yet they're getting over. They're winning. The wicked, they're the honest, righteous people who are always crying to God and saying, God, this is not right. Things are out of order. So obviously, it doesn't mean that God is blessing you if you have money. But it also doesn't mean God is not blessing you if you don't have money. But the way you view these things, it's an indication of who's truly on the throne of your heart. That if I look at my life and say, because I don't have money, God is not blessing me. I'm saying that money is God. Money defines me. Money is what gives me value. And Jesus is saying, don't store your treasure on this green piece of paper. Don't store your treasure in this plastic stuff. Number one, in your filling of blanks. Why? Because money provides a false sense of security. Jesus says, listen, why store your treasure here on earth where moths can come and eat it up, where rust can come and get it in and corrode it, and where thieves can come and steal it? He's saying, listen, money don't always last. Money is not secure. He says, you can have all the finest clothes in the closet, and one night, a bunch of moths can get in and it's all over. He says, you can put all your investment and precious metal. All you need is a little water to get in there and it all begins to rust and corrode. He says, you can have the securest locks, the greatest ADP alarm system of all time, and thieves will still come in and take all of your stuff. He's saying, listen, don't set everything your affections, don't make money number one, because money doesn't last. He says, there are treasures, though, that do last. And those treasures are not here on earth. A kingdom man, a kingdom woman doesn't focus on the here and now alone. A kingdom man knows that there is another life worth living for. And Jesus says, store your treasures in that life where no one can come and take it from you. No one can come and steal it from you. Moths will not eat it up. Rust will not come in and destroy it or corrode it. He's saying, store your treasure there, because there is true eternal security. Chris Bosh, the Miami Heat. This past week, he celebrated his 29th birthday. Two things about the story that makes me upset. Number one, that he's 29. He's the same age as I am, and he plays for the Miami Heat. Just put that out there. But I love my life, though. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Number two, he has his birthday party, and it's extravagant, like Saharan birthday party. So all of him and his buddies and his teammates, they come in this, like, Middle Eastern garb, and they just do it up. I don't know where you get Middle Eastern garb from, but they do. And so he has this party, and he leaves his kids and his housekeepers at home. And so they party, they do their thing, celebrate his birthday. He comes home with his wife, and they go into their closet. They open the closet and see that their closet has been ransacked. And they're like, what's the deal? And so they start looking for stuff, and they start to realize that stuff is missing. They go to their jewelry, and they start realizing stuff is missing. And he goes to find, his wife is like, oh, I hope they didn't get my purses, because I guess that's what women look for first. And so she goes in her handbags. Aiko's going, oh, she just gave me the death stare just now. She goes to her purses and realizes my handbags are gone. And so I guess they sat and calculated how much had been stolen, and $370,000 to $450,000 worth of stuff was stolen in their house while their housekeeper and kids were there. While they were there, The time where they were most, they thought everything was secure. Nobody's going to come in our house when people are there. Our stuff is safe and they stole it. Jesus is saying, listen, I don't care how safe you think your stuff is. I don't care how much you trust the people that are in your house. Your stuff can be here today and gone tomorrow. Don't put your trust in it. It doesn't last. ESPN does these wonderful documentaries called 30 for 30, 30 by 30, 30 divided by 30, I don't know. And they had this one just like heartbreaking series just on guys who had these big contracts, big multi-million dollar contracts, and lost it all. Hundreds of millions of dollars and lost it all. And now you look at them, like, dude, I don't even know who you are anymore. Right? They're like regular people. A lot of these guys, and there's some guys who, as they considered all that they had accumulated and lost, it got too much for them, and they committed suicide. Jesus is saying, listen, money isn't everything, because money comes and money goes. And when it goes, if your security is not in God, it will ruin your life. Jesus is saying, God should be on the throne in your heart, not because God is this self-absorbed, self-conceited entity that just wants all the greed and all the praise for himself. He's saying no, because when God is on the throne of your life, you can survive. There's hope, there's peace, there's security. Anything else, you're liable to lose it along with everything else. Reasons why we should trust God over money: because money provides a false sense of security. Number two, God doesn't have to use money to work in your life. For most of us, we think, man, God, you can just give me this, just send me an anonymous check. My things will be cool. You know, we watch TV and people will call in and be like, oh my God, I prayed. I sent in $30 and got $30,000 back. And we're like, God, who can I get $30 to? Because we assume that the answer to all of our problems is money. And God is saying, listen, I don't need money to work in your life. I don't work for money. Money works for me. I'm in control. And when you think money is the only answer, when your vision is so tunnel vision on money, you limit what I can do in your life. He says, consider. He says, listen, go outside. Look at the birds. They don't need money, yet they're well fed. He says, look at the lilies. They don't spin or toil. But look how, not even Solomon, who had all the money in the world, could compare to their beauty. Because I don't need money to show my glory. I don't need money to get praise from you. I don't need money to work in this. I use money, but I don't need money. God wants to work in your life. But if you're so fixated and so concerned and so attached to money, it limits what God could do in your life. He says, I don't need money to work in your life, though I may use it. But he said, I want you to trust me. Well, you're saying, God, if I could just have $10,000, I can get this new car, so God, give me $10,000. And if it's not $10,000, then God, I guess you don't want me to have a new car. And you don't know who is trying to get rid of a car and has a fixed car, and God wants to use them to bless you. You don't know. But when we place our trust and when we put the money on the throne of our hearts, we say, God, I don't trust you enough to use anything else. Money's my answer. And if money don't come through, then I guess it ain't for me. God wants to work in your life. And he may or may not use money. But trust him. Trust him. Number three, dependence on money leads to separation from God. He said, why are you worrying about all this stuff? He says, in light of all this, in light of how I told you that money provides false security, that I don't need money to work in your life, he says, then why worry? Why be so anxious? And he's not saying don't act like these things don't exist. Don't be naive and act like you don't have needs. He's saying, but don't give it an excessive amount of concern. Don't fret over it. Don't lose sleep because you're worrying about money. Don't sacrifice your relationships worrying about money, because not only does money affect our own relationship with this, it affects our relationship with this. Don't believe me? Guess what the number one reason for divorce is? It's in the range of about 58% of divorces end over money. It skyrockets when it comes to married couples in their 20s to 30s, that 80% of those marriages end over money. You think money's not a big deal? It is ruining not only individual lives, but it's ruining families, because we are so attached to it, we're so dependent upon it, we're so worried about it that we're willing to sacrifice even the relationships that are most closest to us to get it. The OJs wrote a song, said, for the love of money, people will rob from their mother. For the love of money, people will steal from their brother. For the almighty dollar, mean green. I'm not going to sing it. We got to go. We got to go. It ruins relationships. Dependence on money. I was talking to a bunch of musicians last week, fluent musicians, and we were talking about trusting God even in their gift as musicians. And I was saying, sometimes God is going to put you in a position where you're going to have to make a decision, is if somebody calls and says, I want you to come play for me, and you know that everything that they stand for, everything that they sing about is counter God, your God is going to put you in a position to say, who are you going to choose, me or the check? And the guy was like, well, I'm cool. I got the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to get my money. Dependence on money leads to separation. For in that moment, he chose money over God, Holy Ghost and all. He chose money over God. And when we choose other things over God, it leads to separation from God. Jesus says, those of you who are so concerned and consumed with money and an accumulation of things, he says, the Gentiles do that. That's how the world looks. That's how the world thinks. That's not how kingdom people think. That's not how kingdom people live. The Gentiles do that very thing. And the Gentiles at that time were separated from God. They were alienated from God. They were apart from God. And he says, when you think like this, you separate yourself from me. And that's a dangerous place. Because the worst thing that could ever happen to you is to be separated from God. Jesus on the cross, He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't the pain. It wasn't the whips. It wasn't the crown of thorns. It was the separation from God in that moment as God judged him for our sins. That was the greatest pain he'd ever experienced. And if money is our God, we run the risk of experiencing eternal separation from God. Not just then, but even now, we lose peace. We lose joy. We lose comfort. All these things that come with trusting Jesus, we lose it. He says, you're just like the world if you depend on money, if you rely on money. I'm closing with this. 1 John chapter.